All right, welcome to our pre-show for today, Monday. Is it the 12th? Yeah. We're going to spend a little bit of time giving Frontier Communications a load of shit. They're so fucking terrible. They are so fucking terrible. Listen to this. That's Frontier Communications right there. So, you know, we'll I can't use the phone line. This is our character phone. It's the phone that, you know, you guys have seen before. Where are we, man? If you look at, here it is. Well, sorry. If you look here, man, you see my character phone. It sits on the desk here. And I dial up a number. And the number that I dial up is the number that usually I can talk into, you know. But unfortunately, I can't talk into this, motherfucker. There's a hum on the line. Why is there a hum on the line? Well, I'm told there's a hum on the line because of some corrosion or some shit on a cable outside. This is as of last Wednesday. You realize today's Sunday. Today is the 11th, 10th, 9th, 8th, on the 7th. I made the initial call on this piece of shit. On the 7th. And I got a song and a dance. They think they're really funny at Frontier Communications because at one point I asked for a supervisor. And the guy on the other end, which is probably what they do all the time because they, I'll show him. He transferred me to like India or something. Okay, that's cool. The upshot is I'm canceling this service because it's a god-awful fucking shit service. I can put a phone line in. I've always been against the kind of that phony phone sound you get out of EQing. Just take all the low end out and it sounds just like a phone, right? And I've always been against that because I always liked the real kind of cool, rough, crackly sound of a phone. But the fact is, nowadays, who knows what a phone sounds like? You talk to somebody over FaceTime audio and it sounds, or Skype, it sounds crystal clear. I could do things like use my own cell phone and call Skype, but the goddamn cost of that would be prohibitive, I think. And I'm not even sure if, is that Skype? That's Universal Control. I'm not even sure how I would do that, but I could call Skype and bring Skype in up on one of these lines. But there would be a delay because I'm actually using the satellite, you know. There would be a delay in the character. I think I tried that once when I first built the home studio. It didn't work. So we put in a regular phone and just kind of wired it in. But and we've had this phone and we've used this phone for 6 years, even longer, like 12 years. But it ain't working anymore, man, because a company called Frontier took over. And I had Verizon, I had AT&T. I think we had Sprint at one time. They all worked fine. And I don't even remember ever having this problem. But with Frontier, and it may be because everybody's using cell service, I don't really know. I don't give a fuck, you know. Their service is a piece of shit, and they are. And so we'll point that out today on the show. And who knows? They may never come out. They may say, fuck, that guy fell under. Oh, that's fine, motherfucker. I don't give a fuck, you know. But I'm not gonna. I can't keep, you know, fucking you guys. I gave you Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There's 5 motherfucking days you had to fix this, and you fucking limp dick son of a bitches can't get this shit fixed in 5 fucking days. Well, it's on the cape, it's on the thing, and a guy, and this motherfucker they sent out here the first time is trying to give me a song and a dance about something. I don't give a shit, man. I just tell me when they're gonna fix it. Well, I gotta give it another, you know, a ticket to somebody else. Okay, fine. You gave the ticket to somebody else. These assholes at Frontier send you text messages, you know, please confirm your appointment time, which I did. And good news, we're on our way. Okay. And that was it. That was the last. That last text message I got was on Friday. Good news, we're on the way. That was when the guy, the human being they sent out here, kind of looked at things and went, well, I've done all I can. My tickets, this ticket thing, whatever the fuck that is. So, The way it works now is, you know, these companies spring up. They're fantastic. Everybody loves them. They go to them. They use them. And as they get more business, they decide they'll sell. They're not really in the business of being in business. They want to just sell and sit on their fucking asses and, you know, have their dogs lick their fucking balls on the beach someplace. Okay, cool. So then they sell and it turns to shit. Like DirecTV. DirecTV is this company on its own. It was a great company. Sold to AT&T. Now it's a piece of shit. I can't get rid of DirecTV fast enough. Just a fucking piece of shit. From service to the quality of the fucking actual product. I mean, they actually ripped my ass off on pay-per-view twice, these motherfuckers. So then we come to this shit, Frontier. The worst goddamn god-awful fucking shit you ever heard in your life. So I will highlight that, but I've got to do something with the show today. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do, man. I had a bunch of things I was going to do thinking this was going to be fixed today. They said, the last time I talked to these stupid cocksuckers was today. I said, well, you guys said the 11th. Yes, well, it was supposed to be the 10th. This is exactly what they told me. It was supposed to be the 10th. I said, well, they didn't say the 10th. They said Sunday. I thought it was kind of weird. I was talking to them on Friday, and they said they'll be out on Sunday. And I thought, wow, Sunday is strange, but okay, I'll take Sunday. Well, it was supposed to be Saturday. It was supposed to be the 10th. Yes, sir. Did they show up? No, they did not. They blew it. Can you imagine a fucking company like this? This is Frontier Communications. I missed the green shirt guy. I wanted to see him. You know a guy who was a Q guy is Lionel. You guys know Lionel? You guys in Tampa know Lionel. I like Lionel. I like him. He used to be, he's probably still is a great guy. But this Q shit, he buys into this. That's got to be a joke. I don't believe it. I don't believe he buys that shit. So anyway, as I was saying, the guy says, okay. Well, so when are they due to come out? Tomorrow, the 12th. Tomorrow. And if they're not out tomorrow, are you going to tell me it's the 13th? So I finally said to the guy, see what I'm saying? And this was a supervisor, and that took me a whole half a day to get a supervisor. Frontier doesn't have super. Frontier Communications is the last stop before, you know, Donald Trump America takes over, where all the service is dog shit, and too bad if you don't like it. What the fuck are you going to do about it? That's the totalitarian state of corporate America saying, fuck you. We're the only service you got. What are you going to do about it? Can you imagine that if you went to a store that you rely on, place that you rely on, big company you rely on, let's say, and they say, fuck you. We just sold, man. Our stock is worth, you know, this and that. And we all say, well, this is free enterprise. Really? Do you think it's free enterprise? Do you really think it's free enterprise? What if you have the President of the United States using the bully puppet of his office to say that company's a piece of shit? Well, he's doing it right now. You better stick with Frontier Communications, Phil Henry, because you know what? Where are you going? I'm going to go with this ma and pa that just sprung up out of, they suck. They're a piece of shit. We're looking into it. I'm at the Justice Department looking into the fact that I think they're doing this and that wrong. You think that piece of shit's not above that? He does it all the fucking time. I'm telling you, man, that's the kind of totalitarianism we're talking about, where the corporate state says, we don't give a flying fuck what you think of our motherfucking service, bitch, because it's the only goddamn service you're going to get. And we're making all kinds of money on our stocks. Look at all the fucking, our stock prices going right to the fucking roof, you know. The time has come for us to change the paradigm here. The time has come. I'll never stop doing some form of the Phil Henry Show, but the time has come for us to change the production of this show, how it's produced. You know, I still have the old tools, of radio, which is a microphone, a board, and those are fine. But I'm going to have to start to get a little more creative with how we do things. I was talking to somebody last night at this party I went to for Derek Waters, his 40th birthday. Great, great man. We all love Derek. And his girlfriend was there from New York. Wonderful lady. But we were sitting around talking and said, you know, there was a guy named Jackie Gleason who I always thought was a great genius. He was one of my big influences. They go, yeah, you know, because I'm talking to a lot of Gen X and millennial people, man. I was the oldest guy at this party. He said, you know, I know. Okay. I said, but when we talk about Jackie Gleason, as great as he was an actor. He was in The Hustler with Paul Newman. He did a lot of dramatic things and obviously did a lot of film, period. Did a lot of comedic characters, millions of wonderfully inventive characters that he did on television, in films, on stage. And, you know, Jackie Gleason was not a very good stand-up. He came out, did three or four jokes, and then he went off into what he was really good at, which was sketch comedy. Jackie Gleason was not a stand-up comic. He was a comic actor. That's what attracted me to him. He created these marvelous characters. But when anybody talks about Jackie Gleason, what do they get back to? The fucking Honeymooners. That's it. The guy that did The Honeymooners, right? Yeah, but he also did this. Yeah. But The Honeymooners, which you don't blame people for that. Well, that's the same thing with me. I'm not saying I'm Jackie Gleason. I'm on a very small scale. I'm saying it's people say, Phil Henry, the guy that did the radio show with the phone in. Yeah. And I think I do a lot of other stuff, you know, like as I've often said, this podcast that I do now personally makes me laugh more. I mean, the phone call show, it was funny. There's no question, man. When I listen to the Ted Bell, when I listen to our marathons, I'm laughing my fucking ass off. But then I'm laughing my fucking ass off at this goofy shit that I do. Maybe I just think I'm funnier than I am. I don't know, but I haven't stopped laughing at anything I do because it's always been important. It should be important for all of us to enjoy our work, and it's really important for me to enjoy my work. I got to believe the shit I'm doing funny, shit that I'm doing is funny for it to be funny. That's what I've always felt. But even if I was the only guy laughing at it, I wouldn't know how to do it any other way. I would probably have to get out of comedy. You know, in other words, Phil, you think it's funny, right? I think it's a riot. No one's buying it, man. Okay, well, I guess I better, you know, move on down the road, you know. But I've made a living at it. And I've been an arrogant motherfucker. There's no question. You know, I told radio to stick it up its ass. I'm going to go my own way. I went digital. And that's where we are now. And I don't regret it at all because take a look at where radio's gone. What choice did I have? I told radio, I can't do that shit anymore. I can't do that shit anymore, man. It was a great medium at one time. Radio was, I loved radio. I fell in love with it as a kid. So this is the greatest thing. My brother wanted to be an actor. My brother was studying acting. I thought that was so lame. I thought actors were lame fucks. Back when I was coming out of school, like in the late 60s, early 70s, the idea of being an actor, to me, was about the most lame-ass fucking gig you could do. Because all I really saw was the shit that I saw on television. And every now and again, you'd see a really good movie. You'd see a really good performance. But it just didn't appeal to me, man. I thought, you know, that was not cool. The coolest gig you could have would be on radio. Because to me, it was subversive, highly personal, really creative. You could really be creative. I never imagined in my wildest dreams that in my lifetime, we would see the end of that industry. But I guess, you know, I don't know why I thought we'd go on forever. Of all of them, radio was probably the most susceptible. Two things, because there were two reasons. First, radio itself, the medium itself, was being sort of subsumed and superseded by what was happening in the world of the internet, the World Wide Web, the digital world. And then number two, the people in charge of radio, and I'm talking about ownership, management, this, you couldn't have found dumber human beings. I'm telling you the truth. They never really got it about what was happening, the sort of parallel track they were running on next to the internet. If they'd done their homework and they really got going early on, they could have somehow found a toehold in the advertising world to some you know, find their way into that world to begin to monetize. They like to use that word. And because look, man, NPR does well with podcasting, you know. It's not like it's an anti-radio world. You just have to sort of change how you do things a little bit if you want to keep people employed. But it's really been a challenge for me because I went from that highly intensive phone call show to the world of the internet where there's no fucking way you're going to do a phone call show on the internet, man. First of all, you know, you've got to get away with far, 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 far fewer callers. And of those far fewer callers, because people are not dialing, you know, they're not listening to live radio on the internet the way they were listening to live radio on the radio. They were, you know, moving from website to website and there wasn't a lot of live listening. You're going to get phone calls from people, but they're going to be super fans, hyper fans. They know exactly what you're doing. So you're not going to get some stumbling Hume caller. Oh, wow, what is this? You know, and not in the volume that we got on the radio. I could be wrong. I never tried it. I didn't want to waste my fucking time. Anyway, so here we are, you know, in the world of digital. And what I'm finding is you have to really, I hate to use that word, reinvent. Every few years, you've got to take it somewhere else. You got to go some other place with it, you know. I don't know what. And today, now it's going to be fixed tomorrow. So I'm going to.
There's always something.
I don't quite know how we're going to do this show, though. Doesn't matter, man. I don't have any fucking phone to use. I'm fucking real, man. Test. That is too. I don't know what line that. I can just do a whole fucking thing on how shitty. All right, here we go. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, going down, dude. Where is my? Oh, shit. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. All right, good. There is a spot audition. I need to do an audition. Okay, and then tomorrow I've got another thing. Okay, where's the goddamn, there it is. Pluto TV. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. See, the one thing that Q has in common, the one thing that Q is, that has in common with the Trump base, that has in common with the conservative movement, is they're white people. They are disaffected white people. Yes, I understand that they have the odd African-American who seems to buy into their plan. I believe 99% of the black people who proffer and promulgate and promote the Trump Q world are doing it strictly for the paycheck, and I don't blame them. Are you saying they're whores, Phil? I'm saying they're writers. I'm saying that they're performers. I think Diamond and Silk, Candace Owens. Give me a fucking break. There's also, and it's kind of heartbreaking, there's also a segment of African-Americans who are proponents of the Trump philosophy who are genuinely scared of being on the other side of Trump, and so they become allies to protect themselves. I'm serious. They ally themselves with Trump and his movement. And you know what Trump does with black with black spokespeople, with black commentators who seemingly agree with him? He uses them as mascots. I mean, it's the most humiliating. And there's no doubt that guys like Larry Elder understand that. Diamond and Silk, they understand that. They're not fooled. I think Candace Owens wants to believe that there's a good side to Donald Trump, but I think she operates, frankly, out of a level of fear. I don't think any of them are stupid people, but I think they're all people who are looking either to survive or you know, get paid, to be quite honest with you. And I put her more into that category, although she may be a lot smarter than I think she is. There's no question she's a smart woman, but I think that there's a lot of fear happening with her. There's a lot of fucking fear happening with her. I can smell it, that she is frightened of going against that movement, that Trump movement, as really as dumb as the Trump base is, and frankly, as minuscule. I don't mean minuscule, but they're nowhere near a majority of people. They're a minority, and this is right now we're being terrorized by a minority rule government, a government that represents a minority of Americans is telling the rest of us what to do. And then you have like Larry Elder, who's a longtime conservative. He absolutely believes the conservative line. Larry's a genuine guy. But for some reason, he's going to go along to get along with Trump, just like all those other motherfuckers do. He's just going to spew that shit, because what the fuck? It's a lot easier than being opposed to Trump but not being a liberal, because then you're in that kind of gray, weird area that nobody's really interested in called the middle ground, you know. Or as John Adams, Paul Giamatti, as John Adams said, the middle way. Anyway, so I think I'm done here, man. I think I'm done here. So let's see. Yeah, it's still fucking broke. I got money that says it'll sound like this tomorrow night, too. Even though we're doing an encore show. On Tuesday, when we're back, it'll sound like this. But by then, we will have pulled the plug. I'm giving these guys, I don't even think they'll get the job done. I'll give them through tomorrow, and then that's it. And I got not a lot of money, because, you know, I don't think I put any money on it, because I don't feel that sure. But I'll be goddamn surprised if they fix that. Why do you say that, Phil? Because if they can't fix it now, if they can't get their shit together enough to get a fucking trip, they got a customer calling them 4 motherfucking days in a row. All right, so you guys have been watching this pre-show. You're going to hear all of this again on the regular show, because I've just figured out, I think it's a Phil-only show. God damn it. Here we go, man. What do we want to do, man? Yeah, there is. All right, baby. Testy, 1, 2, 3. So I'm 110 calories more over today. I'm already over my 2,000 calories. I went to 2,110. And I don't know how that happened. I think I just had, you know, some extra toast or something. I was really hungry the last couple of days. And I was really a good boy. And, you know, you know, take a lot of calories, man. Booze,